You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk.
We interrupt our normal intro because it's time for a special edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. It's time we bring in a new Friday co-host who's an expert on all things Trump Russia, Trump ethics, Trump fraud, or pretty much any Trump scandal you can think of.
He said very strongly yesterday that he's innocent.
Liar, liar, pants on fire!
Liar, liar, pants on fire!
He's himself a lie, and it's something Donald does daily.
It's time we expose the Trump administration for what it really is.
This is a tough hurricane. One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
I am the least racist person.
The lie detector determined that was a lie.
So sit back and open up your beverage of choice. Because right now on the Repartee, it's Mueller time with Richard Painter.
And God bless the United States.
What you gonna do? When I come for you.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota. This is our new format for Fridays. It's Mueller Time, hosted by Richard Painter. This is currently pre-recorded, but feel free to send comments and feedback to comment at am950radio.com. But Richard, it's good to have you back this week.
Well, thank you very much. We have a lot going on in our country right now, and This week, I want to talk about the impeachment, the I word, the United States House of Representatives Judiciary Committee is where an impeachment resolution would start, and they are now investigating the Trump administration, the Trump organization. They have served subpoenas on a lot of people to obtain information about what happened during the election and then in the first 2 years of the Trump presidency. This is a very serious situation. I'm old enough to remember the Nixon impeachment hearings, the United States House, and the Watergate hearings in the Senate when I was 12 years old. And Congress took its job seriously, the job of investigating alleged obstruction of justice and other crimes in the Nixon administration. And it did not end with impeachment because President Nixon knew that he would likely be impeached and by the House of Representatives, and that in the Senate he was losing support from Republicans, and he might very well have been convicted in the United States Senate because the House and Senate were willing to do their job. President Nixon resigned. This is a lot more serious than the Nixon situation. Nixon was a crook. But at least he was our crook. The KGB didn't do the Watergate job. And he didn't get elected by a foreign power with help from a foreign power. Nixon did apparently collaborate with some people with the North Vietnamese, try and stall the peace talks in 1968 as part of his election strategy. And we've subsequently learned about that. But you did not have the degree of the collusion here that we've had with Russia by very, very senior campaign officials in the Trump campaign continuing into the Trump White House. This is a very serious scandal and it needs to be investigated. It should have been investigated 2 years ago by the United States House Judiciary Committee, but they just sat on their hands and looked at Hillary Clinton's emails, which is basically what they've done for the past 6 years before that. And it's a very serious situation. The House of Representatives needs to do its job. And I know that Speaker Pelosi has made a few comments that have been taken out of context by the press about impeachment. I fully recognize that we're not there yet. They need to get all the evidence, get their ducks in a row, find out exactly what the facts are, and then make a decision. But if President Trump has committed high crimes and misdemeanors as defined in the Constitution, the United States House of Representatives Judiciary Committee has no choice but to impeach him. If they don't impeach him, if the House does not impeach him, the Democrats cannot go into the 2020 election saying, well, President Trump has committed high crimes and misdemeanors, but, well, we didn't impeach him because of some political reason or we didn't want Pence or whatever it is. Trump will just throw that right back at him. because it is their constitutional duty to impeach him if he has committed high crimes and misdemeanors. I understand the caution of Speaker Pelosi on this, and caution is called for, but the committee needs to look at the evidence, and if the evidence justifies impeachment, vote out a resolution of impeachment, send it to the floor of House of Representatives, and they got to impeach him there. I have compared this to the Nixon hearings, which were very serious. The Clinton impeachment in 1998, I think that was a joke. He did lie. He lied under oath. That's wrong. He lied under oath about sex of BJ or whatever it was. But it just isn't an impeachable offense, someone lying about sex. I think the House of Representatives overreached there. The Republicans lost in the congressional elections in 1998, whereas if they had just done nothing, they probably would have picked up a lot of seats because people were upset at President Clinton. So you can overreach with impeachment, but that is not the case here with Trump. This is much closer to the Nixon situation. And as I said, I think a heck of a lot worse than the Nixon situation because of the threat to our national security from the involvement of the Russians.
Now, what do you think the dangers are if they don't move forward in the House and have impeachment hearings?
Well, they absolutely have to have hearings. And then if they decide they don't want to vote in favor of a resolution of impeachment, then Donald Trump's going to come back at them in the 2020 elections and say, well, look, the House of Representatives is controlled by Democrats. They looked at the evidence and they didn't impeach me. And then they're going to have to explain why they didn't impeach him. And I think the answer, well, we didn't like Mike Pence or, you know, we politically thought it was better to wait. Well, that's a terrible answer because they have a job to do under the United States Constitution. He's either committed high crimes and misdemeanors, which I believe he has, or he hasn't. And they now have control of the United States House of Representatives, the Democrats, and they need to make a decision. And I believe the evidence would support a resolution of impeachment. The evidence I'm aware of, I believe, would support conviction in the United States Senate. And that's just the evidence that's publicly available right now.
Now, what would be like the implications to future presidents if they didn't move towards impeachment, since there would be kind of a precedent for treason, basically?
The message to future presidents, you can do anything you want. Particularly if you backstop yourself with a vice president who's even more repulsive to your the opposing political party than you might be, that it's all about politics, that it's not about the rule of law. And we've had impeachments that were all about politics. The impeachment of Andrew Johnson after the Civil War was about politics. He'd been the vice president for President Lincoln, and President Lincoln had wanted to unify the country and brought in Johnson, I believe, was a Democrat with more southern sympathies to try and unify the country. And then Lincoln got shot and Johnson was trying to frustrate the Republican Party Reconstruction agenda and civil rights for African Americans, a number of things that the Republicans were quite liberal in those days, were quite upset with him. But that was a political impeachment. But Nixon, the impeachment was about the rule of law. I think Clinton was a political impeachment. This time around, it's about the rule of law once again, although it's the most dangerous presidency we've ever had, the Trump presidency.
And I know you have a lot of ways you could already impeach him, already infractions that he has committed. We'll get into those more specifically later. But how many different offenses do you think there are that he's already guilty of?
A lot. And we can discuss obstruction of justice, which is probably the most obvious, and that's what President Nixon was charged with as well. The repeated attempts to obstruct the Russia investigation, his pressure that he put on James Comey to discontinue the Russia investigation, not to investigate Michael Flynn, the national security advisor who had lied about his contacts with the Russians, his firing of James Comey, his lying about his firing of James Comey, President Trump's repeated attempts to derail the Mueller investigations, attempts to get Robert Mueller fired, to obstruct that investigation. his drafting lies for his son, Donald Trump Jr., with respect to the Trump Tower meeting.
Yeah.
Those are lies that would have been told to Robert Mueller, obstruction of justice. And that continues to this day. Pressure he probably put on Acting Attorney General Whitaker to shut down the Mueller investigation. Pressure he's putting right now on Attorney General Barr to shut down the Mueller investigation. His own tweets are incriminating. I mean, this is the only president of the United States we've ever had who has publicly incriminated himself through his own statements repeatedly.
Yeah. I mean, you brought up his son, and that's really interesting because that kind of has went away. But at the time when it occurred, it looked like Donald Trump Jr. was going to get in serious trouble.
Well, I think he is in serious trouble. I don't know what's going to happen. But if Robert Mueller is going to indict Donald Trump Jr., he's going to do that at the very end when he drops everything else on people's lap. Because if he indicts Donald Trump Jr., Donald Trump, the president, is going to do everything he can to get him fired the next day. So that's an indictment that I would save for last, along with Jared Kushner. If there's going to be an indictment of Jared Kushner, that would be last too.
They're the last pieces to fall, so to say.
That will be on Robert Mueller's last day in the office.
All right. Well, this is our new Friday format for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. It's Mueller time with Richard Painter. And today we are pre-recorded, so we're not taking calls. But feel free to send feedback to comment at am950radio.com. But we'll be right back on AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. This is our new Friday format for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. It's Mueller time, featuring Richard Painter. And Richard, we were just talking about impeachable offenses for Donald Trump. Let's get into that a little more.
Well, the most obvious impeachable offense for this president is obstruction of justice. His repeated efforts to shut down the investigation of Russian interference in the election. And that's been from the get-go. He's tried to shut this investigation down. He put pressure on James Comey, the director of the FBI, to shut down the Russia investigation. He put pressure on his own intelligence officials to say that there was no Russian interference in the election, compromising American intelligence. He used Rod Rosenstein in the Department of Justice, the Deputy Attorney General, to come up with a memo that would justify the firing of James Comey for reasons that had nothing to do with the reason he fired James Comey. He fired FBI Director Comey because James Comey would not agree to stop the Russia investigation despite repeated attempts by Donald Trump to convince him to shut down the Russia investigation. Then Donald Trump has continued to attack Robert Mueller seek to get Robert Mueller fired. He demanded that Attorney General Jeff Sessions supervise the Russia investigation and shut it down. Jeff Sessions recused from the Russia investigation because he himself had involvement with the Trump campaign's coordination with the Russians. Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, had meetings with Russians that he conveniently forgot when he was under questioning by Senator Al Franken of Minnesota, and he was caught in a lie. So then he recused from the Russia investigation. Donald Trump continued to pressure Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, to unrecuse, to get rid of Mueller. This is all repeated instances of obstruction of justice. He drafts a bunch of lies for his son, Donald Trump Jr., to tell to the press and then to the Mueller team about what happened at Trump Tower meeting in June of 2016. The obstruction of justice continues to this day. This president is doing everything he can to shut down the Mueller investigation.
Are each one of those an impeachable offense?
Yes, I'd say each one of those instances is a lot more serious than a president lying under oath about his sex life, which is what happened with Bill Clinton 20 years ago. We're talking about not only a president but other high-ranking officials who may be sleeping with the Russians. This is a foreign adversary that has tried to undermine Western democracies for 100 years, going back to the 1917 Russian Revolution. And even the Tsarist days, they had spies running around causing trouble. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've got a president who is in bed with Vladimir Putin. That's a lot bigger deal to me than whatever Bill Clinton lied about 20 years ago. So, yes, each one of these, in my view, is an impeachable offense. This is a serious investigation of a serious threat to our national security. And this president is trying to obstruct it every step of the way.
Yeah, it's amazing how the Republican Party has changed their view of Russia just because of this Trump guy and his closeness to it. But the entire kind of the right wing of America is now pro-Russia, which is backwards from how it's historically been.
Well, yeah, I mean, the way the Russians have played this game, if you go back to the – at least to the 1917 Russian Revolution and the communist era, is they would stoke resentment and anger at the political extremes. A lot of their activity in the communist years was focusing on the extreme left wing, and there isn't much of an extreme left wing in the United States, certainly that's politically influential. So they never were really able to get very far in the United States. They got a lot further in Europe with organizations like the Red Brigade in Italy and so forth, but not in the United States. The Russians caused a lot of trouble before World War II in Germany and other countries. Supporting violent communist movements, but believe it or not, they also supported the Nazis, the fascists. They just simply liked chaos, people going after each other. Well, what's happened is they've discovered the far right wing in the United States under Vladimir Putin. They've discovered the Ku Klux Klan, the alt-right, the neo-Nazis, the whole crowd that came together in Charlottesville in the summer of 2017. And the Russians love those people because they can get them worked up about white nationalism. Russia's a predominantly white country. They're the great white power, white superpower, whereas, gee, if you're white in the United States, you're supposed to worry about that. We're going to lose your cultural identity and all that other nonsense. So the Russians are able to play on all this and with remarkable effectiveness. And that was a big factor in putting Donald Trump in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Now, back to the obstruction of justice and all the all those different instances you listed out, is there a way that you could go after him where you package them all together, have hearings on all of them, and then if one of them they can find him guilty, then it happens?
Well, I think we got to start with the most serious high crimes and misdemeanors and then go from there. And obstruction of justice is I think there's very strong evidence there. The problem is if we go through everything that's criminal that has occurred in the Trump administration, every violation of the United States Constitution, of which there are many, these hearings are going to stretch into 2020, and then we'd be impeaching him on the eve of the election. So I think they need to start with what the most serious concerns are, particularly obstruction of justice and the Russia investigation. Look at some other things. For example, his attacks on the free press. His attempt to use the Justice Department to retaliate against CNN in an antitrust suit. There are a number of other things. But at a certain point, we got to stop, say, okay, we got enough to charge him and vote an impeachment resolution out of the House, send it to the floor, and have a trial at the United States Senate where the Chief Justice of the United States comes. And we probably remember this from the Clinton impeachment trial, hopefully not with those silly gold stripes on his robe that Chief Justice Rehnquist had, and we have a serious impeachment trial because this is serious business, unlike what happened with Clinton.
So how has the Judicial Committee in the House changed since the Democrats took over?
Well, they're investigating something other than Hillary Clinton's email or whatever. I don't know what they were doing for the past 2 years. They weren't doing very much. And it's sad because Republicans should be willing to investigate a president of their own party. Democrats should be willing to investigate a president of their own party. This is about congressional oversight. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be about party loyalty. We're Americans first and foremost, and the duty of the Congress is to investigate. So unfortunately, we've lost 2 years, and now they're willing to investigate. It's time to turn up the heat, get the documents, have the hearings, and if justified by the facts, and I believe it will be, vote out the impeachment resolution and send it to the floor.
This is our new Friday format of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. It's Mueller time, hosted by Richard Painter. We are pre-recorded today, so we're not taking calls, but feel free to send your feedback to comment at am950radio.com. But we're going to take a break here, and then we'll be right back on AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's Mueller time, featuring Richard Painter. AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. This is our new Friday format of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. It's Mueller time, featuring Richard Painter. Feel free to send us feedback at comment at am950radio.com. But we've been talking a lot about Trump impeachment. And, Richard, what are some... what are some other areas we haven't covered yet that you think are important?
Yes, we've been talking about obstruction of justice, but the obstruction of justice was the attempt, repeated attempts by the president to obstruct the Russia investigation. We are soon going to get the Mueller report. The Mueller report must be made public. That's absolutely critical. And the United States House of Representatives voted out a resolution unanimously calling for the report to be made public. Not a single Republican congressman was willing to say the report should not be public. Lindsey Graham's trying to jam that up in the Senate because the Russians may have something on him. I don't know what's going on with Lindsey there. But bottom line is that report's going to have to become public. The United States House and Senate are going to get their hands on that report. And so we may very well see actual collusion by President Trump with the Russians. We may very well see collusion. We already know of collusion by Donald Trump Jr. and Jared Kushner because of the Trump Tower meeting in June of 2016. But we may very well get a lot more information about collusion with the Russians from that report. Then the next thing we need to focus on is the financial ties that may very well exist between Donald Trump, the Trump Organization, and perhaps Kushner, the Kushner family. Jared Kushner and the Russians, as well as other foreign powers. The Mueller investigation just focuses on Russia, but the House Judiciary Committee may be looking at other countries such as Saudi Arabia, where the president has business operations. And this is where we need to step back and look at the Trump business empire and what it was like. I was living in New York in the late 80s, early 90s, when Donald Trump was borrowing money right and left for his big casino in New Jersey that went belly up. He had $900 million worth of bonds that weren't paid. We still teach that case in the securities law classes at the universities. And all the American bankers, not just in New York, around the country, London bankers, no one would loan him any more money starting about 1993.
Yeah, he proudly declared bankruptcy. He's proud of that one.
Absolutely. He was a deadbeat. Now, he didn't declare personal bankruptcy. He let the corporations do the bankruptcies while he was running around partying all over New York and with his multiple affairs and the rest of it. But the bottom line is a lot of people lost money to Trump Business Ventures, and nobody loaned him any money. So it's been a mystery since the mid-1990s when I left law practice in New York to go become a professor at the University of Oregon in Eugene, Oregon, 1993. That was the time frame in which people had no idea where Donald Trump was getting his money because nobody in the United States or London or anywhere else was willing to give it to him. And we still don't know. He will not disclose his tax returns. His financial disclosure report that is filed under the federal election laws and now for the Office of Government Ethics as president, that doesn't disclose this information because he does all his business deals at the corporate level. He himself doesn't borrow the money. The corporation borrows the money. That's why the corporation gets away with not paying it back and he doesn't have to pay it. But we don't know where he's borrowed his money since 1993. It's been a while. We know he goes to Russia a lot. We know he has a lot of deals he wanted to do in Russia. We know that very, very recently he wanted to build a big Trump hotel in Moscow. Michael Cohen, his lawyers, were lying about that to Congress. I mean, he goes on and on, his involvement with Russia. But that could very well be where he's getting his money. We don't know. Saudi Arabia is another country that needs to be looked at. He loves doing the sword dance. I don't know whether he's getting money from over there. But he doesn't seem to care if they kill journalists right or left. This is a situation that could potentially be very serious. The founders of this country anticipated this problem, that an American official could very well be getting profits and benefits from foreign governments, from foreign countries, and that's why they put a clause in the Constitution just flat out prohibiting it. It's called the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution. Emolument is a word with a Latin root, emolumentum. It just means profits and benefits. If we were drafting the Constitution today, we might just call it the payoff clause. But, bottom line is the Constitution specifically says that no person holding a position of trust with the United States government can receive profits and benefits or gifts, things of monetary value, from a foreign government without the consent of Congress. And yet Donald Trump has business operations all over the world. He has foreign governments, including the Saudi government and others, coming in booking rooms in the Trump Hotel. But he could very well be getting financing, large amounts of financing, from foreign governments. And that's something the House of Representatives needs to investigate. And, I'll give you one example. Deutsche Bank in Germany has loaned Donald Trump a lot of money. Now, Deutsche Bank's a private bank. So if they actually took the risk, that's one thing. But I'm not so sure that the Deutsche Bank bankers are really pretty smart, would take a several hundred million dollar risk on Donald Trump. What if by some chance, just possibly, someone walked into the Moscow office of Deutsche Bank, put down a couple hundred million dollars and said, I'll put this on deposit. I'm guaranteeing the loan you're making to Mr. Trump in New York. Well, that's really a loan. That's really profits and benefits, emoluments coming from whoever that guy is in Moscow. That guy's name is Vladimir Putin or somebody else connected with Vladimir Putin. We got a constitutional violation. That's what the House needs to investigate, and they need to get on it. The President Trump has been sued. I've sued him under the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution. We have cases pending in federal court, but those are going to take a while to resolve, to get the evidence. Two cases are proceeding to discovery in federal court. One federal judge has already ruled on the Emoluments Clause and made it very clear that our position is the correct interpretation of the Emoluments Clause, and Donald Trump's interpretation of the Emoluments Clause is flat out wrong. This is very serious. It's about the potential for treason, the risk of a foreign government official getting payoffs from foreign governments, a United States government official getting payoffs from foreign governments. This is something that needs to be investigated right away.
Do you think that Trump could possibly be arrested post-presidency for all these things? Because these could be tied up for political reasons. Could you see that as a possibility, like an old man Trump spending the rest of his life in prison?
Well, we just see how it plays out, but he's going to have some exposure. He may try and pardon himself for the way out, but the president cannot pardon himself. The Constitution, I don't think, allows it. A pardon by its very nature involves one person pardoning another. And he also can't pardon any crimes committed under the laws of the state of New York. I see that Paul Manafort's also been charged by the state of New York AG's office. So we've got a backstop there. Donald Trump's legal situation is not a good one. If I were advising him, I'd say he ought to try and work a plea deal with Bob Mueller, with the New York AG's office, with all the prosecuting authorities, where he pleads guilty to some things and maybe gets a reduced sentence in return for resigning the presidency. We went through something somewhat similar with Spiro Agnew back in 1973 when he resigned the vice presidency in a bribery scandal. And it's part of the plea bargain that he resigned. That's what Donald Trump ought to be doing. But he's so stubborn. He's so convinced he's right. And that his biker brigade or whoever he's talking about with Breitbart is going to come to his rescue with, swinging chains everywhere and the gun, the Second Amendment crowd. you know, maybe he thinks he wants to fight this one to the finish, but it's not going to be good for him.
Now, what do you think of Manafort and the time he got compared to the time that they were saying he could potentially get?
Well, we have two. He's received time now in two separate federal cases. Now we're up to 7-8 years, and so I think it looks a lot more reasonable than what we got just on the first case,
which
could be 4 years. And now we've got the New York sentence coming up too, so he's going to get some time there. The problem is that Donald Trump could pardon the federal crimes.
And were the two sentences that were already handed down, were those federal?
Those are federal.
But this New York one would be
different. New York one President Trump cannot pardon. If President Trump, though, pardons the federal offenses now, I believe that would be criminal obstruction of justice because they've been dangling pardons to material witnesses in the Russia investigation. It's one thing to pardon someone after the investigation is concluded, but when you dangle a pardon and give someone a pardon in return for not testifying against the president, that's obstruction of justice. And Manafort is one of the people who has not testified. He said he would cooperate, and then he cheated. And one thing you don't do is lie to Robert Mueller, and I think he's learned the hard way you don't do that. But Manafort has, for the most part, carried Trump's water for him in this investigation. He's probably has lied for Donald Trump. And a pardon right now, I believe, would be criminal obstruction of justice.
And you've been on TV a lot lately talking about the 25th Amendment. Do you want to get into that a bit?
Yes, and that's a longer conversation we also ought to have after the break. The 25th Amendment of the United States Constitution was adopted in 1969, I believe it was. So it's a recent amendment. In response to the situations, we had the Kennedy assassination. We also had President Woodrow Wilson, who was incapacitated due to a stroke in the very late teens, early 20s. And the idea of having an incapacitated president is mentally or physically incapacitated and then nuclear weapons lying around was really quite scary to people. And so Congress did pass and the states ratified the 25th Amendment that does provide for removal of the president of the United States in a situation where the president is physically or mentally incapacitated. And there's a procedure that's set forth in the 25th Amendment for doing that. The cabinet and the vice president need to initiate the process, and that requires the consent of the majority of the cabinet. And then it would go to the United States House and Senate. The problem is that President Trump has packed the cabinet with people who are very, very loyal to him. He has gotten rid of cabinet members who question his sanity, most notably the Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and the Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, and he uses that phony doctor too. The people he surrounds himself with are all crooks, it seems.
Well, yeah, he had the doctor. We had one doctor who had been in the White House before, I think during the Obama years, even before that, who was handing out pills to everybody who wanted a cheap high. And so this is the White House doctor who, and then this guy said that Trump was mentally sound. This guy, doctor was not a psychiatrist at all. And then he got nominated, I think, to head up the Veterans Affairs Administration or something like that in return for signing off on the president's mental health. Now, we need a real mental health exam. Just look at his Twitter feed. It's so obvious that Donald Trump is off his rocker. You just need to read the Twitter feed.
All right, this is our new Friday format for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. It's Mueller time featuring Richard Painter. We are pre-recorded today, but we're taking feedback at comment at am950radio.com. But we'll be right back and continue talking about the 25th Amendment and impeaching Trump right here on AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. This is our new Friday format for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. It's Mueller time with Richard Painter. We are pre-recorded today, but we're taking feedback at comment@am950radio.com. But Richard, we were talking about the 25th Amendment and Trump's mental state. Let's get back into that.
Well, it took me a long time to go through Trump's mental state. It's a very bad situation. As I said, just look at his Twitter feed. You know something's off. The way he repeatedly tweets about Hillary Clinton and the Democrats. And it's a combination of paranoia with extreme narcissism and its antisocial behavior. And this has been noticed by a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists have observed this. I'm participating in a conference organized by Bandy Lee from Yale University, who has a book edited on this subject. This president, based on what we see in the public record, is not psychologically with it at all. And this is based on just on what we know, what's in the public record. The narcissism has been pointed out repeatedly, not only by psychiatrists, but by people around him, people who have worked for Donald Trump, people whose spouses have worked or are working for Donald Trump, that he's an extreme narcissist. And if you want evidence of that, go to the Twitter page of my law school classmate, George T. Conway. He's a partner of a big firm in New York, the Wachtell Lipton firm. And George has four kids at home. And his wife, Kellyanne Conway, is working for Donald Trump and continuing to shill for Donald Trump. Well, George is a very conservative person, was a Republican until about a year ago when George became an independent. And I don't think it was he changed his views on issues as much as he recognized that the Republican Party is under the leadership of an extreme narcissist who's actually a very dangerous man. And George has talked about this on his Twitter feed. He has retweeted articles from Psychology Today about the narcissism and pointed out specific examples, much to the anger of Donald Trump, who refers to George as Mr. Kellyanne Conway. But that's just one example of a very intelligent, conservative lawyer who, when he looks at the facts, they're in the public record, and also what I gather he may know from his wife Kellyanne working for this man, this is a very dangerous situation. And so that's what the 25th Amendment is designed to deal with, because we're talking about nuclear weapons here. The ability to destroy human civilization in 20 minutes. The founders, the drafters of the 25th Amendment in the 1960s recognized that problem. And when the amendment was added to the Constitution in 1969, they wanted for the cabinet and the Congress to have an out to get rid of a president who is psychologically dangerous, incapable of doing his job. And this needs to be taken very, very seriously. It's one of the most dangerous aspects of the Trump presidency is his state of mind.
I remember a report where they got several different doctors, and the consensus was that this guy, from based on what they're observing in videos and just observations, that he was unfit to serve because of his mental state. Now, that wasn't enough to qualify it. Like, it didn't mean anything legally, but it was an interesting observation that a bunch of different doctors in different specialties all agreed that he was unfit and would qualify under this 25th Amendment.
Absolutely. I think any psychiatrist looked at his Twitter feed, his other public statements, what he says in speeches, it's incoherent. He's obsessed with certain people, Hillary Clinton and others. He trashes the people around him, his own attorney general, Jeff Sessions. He's constantly going on and on about Robert Mueller and the investigation, even though Robert Mueller doesn't say anything publicly, he just hands down indictments. It's a situation where the president's becoming unhinged.
And the fact that he'll do something like make a spelling mistake on Twitter, and then rather than just admit it's a mistake, just double down on ridiculous claims that it was like that was intentional that I said Covfefe. It was code message. It's like that's not what a normal person would do. A normal person makes a mistake and no one's up to it.
Yeah, exactly. It makes absolutely no sense the way he's dealing with things. And we see this in this whole thing about the wall. That's an ego trip for him. It's not about addressing the problem of illegal immigration. It's just an obsession because his ego is on the line. So he has to have his wall and he needs to have his way. And Congress won't let him have his way, so he's going to declare a national emergency. We see the Republicans in Congress and the Senate and others are turning against him on this. I hope we can get a two-thirds majority to do this, or what I would do is amend the National Emergencies Act to make it clear going forward that no president could do this kind of thing, to just spend money without the authorization of Congress. The reason this is happening has nothing to do with a sincere belief that this wall is going to solve an illegal immigration problem, which it won't. It's all about the ego. He promised a big, beautiful wall that Mexico was going to pay for. And now at least he wants to get his wall, even if we pay for it, even if he has to violate the United States Constitution in order to get it. And remember, there's a wall that a Republican-controlled House and Senate weren't willing to give him for 2 years. And he's obviously been shamed, but he won't own up to the fact that in life and in politics, you don't win everything. You don't get everything you want.
It's bizarre the timing of that as soon as they lost power is when he went just all out on this wall and wouldn't compromise at all. It's like, well, why weren't you trying the first 2 years? It's just bizarre. I don't even have a take on that. It's just like, what is this guy ever thinking?
Well, he knew the Republicans in the House and Senate didn't want to own up. They couldn't get a majority to support building this wall because it's a waste of taxpayer money, and it's going to become quite obvious a waste of taxpayer money. People fly into the United States, overstay their visas. There are plenty of ways that people get in and stay here illegally. The wall has serious environmental consequences, extremely expensive and ineffective. So he just couldn't get Republican Party support for it. And now he's going to scream and yell and blame it all on the Democrats, the fact that Congress doesn't want to give him his wall. He's acting like a child, a five-year-old, who can't, doesn't get his way and screams and yells about it.
Well, we're pretty much out of time, but Richard will be back next week for It's Mueller Time, the special edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, and prosecute the Trump administration for treason. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.